scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, tucked the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene.
Good morning. I hope that you all have had a very blessed Christmas, that you were able to spend time with family and friends. I know for some it was a bittersweet day. It's kind of hard to believe here we are at the end of another year. 2019 has flown by, at least for me. I know there's one family in the room who's very glad that this season between, Advent and Christmas is taking a little bit longer, and that's the Stoko family. Kayla is here today after 4 months gone from basic training in the Air Force. And she is here until the first of the year. So they're hoping it really drags out. But as we know, it goes just like that. So Kayla, we've been praying for you. We wish you the best as she goes back to Lackland Air Force Base and goes to tech school. And then we'll be sent to who knows where. So we keep praying for you. Throughout 2019, we have had many wonderful worship services. We've made memories, we've had times of fellowship, we've laughed, and we've cried. And it's come full circle yet again to another end of a year. The celebration that was Epiphany last year, at the beginning of this year, Lent, Easter, summer passed us by, vacation Bible school started, and now here we are again at the Sunday after Christmas. When I was a child, those 4 weeks before Christmas went by so very slowly. Do you remember that? How long that dragged on. But now it's just like that because we have so much to do. We have to get everything done that we have to get done before it's Christmas Day. And then it's Christmas Day and we have to get everything done. And we rush through every season. To quote the very wise Dr. Seuss, he said, "How did it get to be late so soon? It's night before it's afternoon. December is here before it's June. My goodness, how the time has flown." How did it get to be late so soon? I understand that now. Our time on earth is so fleeting. When I was younger, I would say to my mom, I can't wait until I'm a teenager. Or I can't wait until I'm an adult and can do whatever I want to do. And she would say, don't wish your life away. That makes more and more sense every day. For me, and I guess for many of you, I know I heard Carolyn Ferguson say this yesterday, we're ready for 2019 to go. It's been a hard year. We're ready to bring on 2020, a new decade. Because surely 2020 will be chock full of happiness and joy and good times and no heartache, right? If only we could have that promise. Is that too much to hope, too much to expect? Well, I know for me, I've already found out that early in 2020, in February, my bum shoulder gets another jab by the surgeon because it did not heal correctly. So that's how my 2020 will start in February. How can I find joy even in that? We aren't promised easy times. We're not promised that the 366 days of 2020 will be filled with roses and no thorns. So as we prepare to say goodbye to 2019, maybe we should ask ourselves, what have we learned? What lessons can we take into this new year, into this new decade? What are the takeaways from 2019? As I have reflected on this season of Advent that we've just come through, I think we were given some great spiritual insight. And if I was listening and paying attention, and if I can put it into practice, then there are some truths that will help me and help you in this new year. Here's just a little recap of what we learned. As we celebrated the 300th anniversary of Joy to the World, we were reminded that because of Jesus' birth, we can find joy in every moment, every situation, no matter what. He came to bring joy to the world, not just happiness, but true joy that floods our soul. He promised to bring hope, knowing that because he sent his Son who made his dwelling among us, we will never walk alone. Jesus came and had a desire for our hearts and still has a desire for our hearts today, for his love to make room and to be fully alive and at work within us. He brought love in the form of a baby, which was a way they never imagined. As believers, it's now our mission to spread that love, to show that love, to repeat the sounding joy. We create more love in this world by being loving in this world. The joy that Jesus brings to us is unabashed. We're confident. We're not embarrassed by it. It is joyful joy. It's a joy that resides deep in our souls, that brings peace like a river, even when the chaos is going on all around us. We're changed by the hopeful joy, the loving joy, the unabashed joy, the peaceful joy, which God uses and became flesh incarnate in Jesus Christ, who promised never to leave or forsake us. So today, as we conclude this worship series, we talk about and focus on compassionate joy. Compassionate joy comes only from allowing Jesus to live within us and to change us so that we live for him. This Advent and Christmas, we learn these truths, but they don't end now. This compassionate joy is supposed to be carried all through the rest of the year. It's our go-to response, or should be. All over this world, in this county, in this community, in this church, there are people who are hurting. People who need compassion, who are seeking peace. They need to know that the love of Christ is real. Hurting people are running away from the pain that they experience every single day, and they're trying to find something, anything, to take away the pain. Something that will change their circumstances. They're fleeing injustice and heartache and fear. Sometimes they run to drugs or gambling or money or things that they think will help them overcome. They need compassion that comes from Christians who are trying to be Jesus' hands and feet in this world. Showing true compassion and empathy to someone who is hurting can truly change their lives. I know this from experience. Can also change our lives as we give compassion to others. The drug addict that you show compassion to becomes a person loved by God when you view them through the eyes of compassion. The person who has wronged you becomes someone you can pray for when you look at them through compassion. Compassion for the broken brings healing and hope. Think about this. When have you felt like you were in a very difficult place in your life and you needed someone desperately to show you some compassion, but instead they looked the other way? How did that make you feel? Vice versa, think about a time when someone showed you great compassion and the difference that made in your life. The compassion of a Christ follower to someone who is hurting is like a balm to their soul. Compassion can make the difference between fear and being safe. Between being broken and being made whole, between being lost and being found, sometimes even between life and death. Compassion extended to those who are hurting is what Jesus did do and still does through us. Jesus knew that compassion would change our hearts. He knew something about compassion. He showed it wherever he went. He also probably learned some compassion very early in his life. In our scripture this morning, we read about the family leaving Bethlehem. This holy family who was warned, Joseph was warned in a dream at night to get out. Because Herod, this evil king, was trying to kill the Christ child. They surely were afraid, leaving this place of comfort where they had been, this place where God had given them this great miracle, and suddenly they're fleeing to Egypt. They surely knew that the angel was telling the truth because Herod had already proven to be a very evil man. He was filled with jealousy and rage. He had murdered his wife and his brother-in-law. He had murdered his own sons. But Mary and Joseph must have wondered, why do we have to go back to Egypt? Now, they hadn't been in Egypt, as far as we know. But that was the place where their people had been in captivity, where their people had been killed by the plagues, where their people, their ancestors, had lived a life that was very, very hard. And here God is calling them back to Egypt. After witnessing his birth and hearing the stories from the shepherds and meeting with the wise men, they must have trusted God immensely just to get up and go. But what would they encounter on the way? What would they find when they got to this foreign land of Egypt? Would they have food? Would they have lodging? Would they have water? Were they going back to a place that would enslave them again? Were they scared? Mary was so young. And she had this new child, this child given to her by God, who was God in the flesh. That's a lot of responsibility. But now she's running away in the middle of the night. She was about to experience Egypt firsthand. As Jim read, that trip to this foreign land was a fulfillment of prophecy. Their immigration to that land so that he could be called out of Egypt. But maybe it was also so they could experience the compassion of strangers. Perhaps that compassion of strangers saved their lives. We don't know the details. We don't know what happened when they were in Egypt. But we do know they were there about 3 or so years. We know that they were safe in Egypt, that the baby, the Christ child, grew there. But what would Mary have felt as she ran with her husband through the night to an unknown land? I know just a little bit of what she might have felt. When my first child was born, my son, I was just 20 years old. I was young. That's so young to me now. I look back on those days and recognize the fact that I did not know nearly as much as I thought I did. I was married to a man who was in the army, and it was Desert Storm time. Matthew was born at Womack Army Hospital on Fort Bragg on August 14, 1990, and 2 weeks later, his father was deployed to Iraq. I had a job at St. John's Episcopal Church in downtown Fayetteville, so I didn't want to leave there. I'd gotten this wonderful job. I loved the people there, and I didn't want to leave. Many of the Army wives were moving back home to be with their families, but I wanted to stay. So when Matthew was about 6 weeks old, I went back to work, put him in a very loving child care center, and started that journey of being that mom. I was young. I just had a baby. My husband was away at war. My family was 4 hours away. I lived in a town that was very dangerous at times. And I was in a place where I'd never been until I moved there. I was petrified. But thanks be to God, he put people in my life who showed me great compassion. One woman in particular took me under her wing. Her name was Mary Strickland, and I'll never forget her. But she became this mom to me when my mom wasn't there. She bought baby clothes. She kept him at night on the nights I needed to work. She helped me when I was afraid. She was a woman of great, great faith. It was a very difficult time in my life, but it was also a time of great growth. I learned a lot about what it means to make it through difficult times. My relationship with God was strengthened. I was forced to rely on the compassion of other people to help me through that time. I also had to fully rely on God. After 8 months of deployment, his father returned from Iraq, and then he went to Korea. And after a year in Korea, he came back, and then he went to Texas. It was a long few years. But I can look back on that time now, and I can see where God was at work. Thank you, Jacob. I meant to grab it. Compassion from strangers who became my friends changed me. Changed who I was at that point. It changed me into a better mom, to a better employee, friend, and follower of Christ. I was a new person when I left that land, that foreign land of Fayetteville. In the Hebrew language of the Old Testament, the word for compassion comes from the root word for womb. Compassion is about something new being born. If you apply this to our human experience, it means that compassion shown to me creates something new in me. And the compassion that I show to someone else creates something new within them. Compassion gives new chances. Compassion does not keep a list of wrongs. But instead, it offers a fresh start and hope for the future. It tells us to keep moving forward. I want that kind of compassion in my life, and I want to show that compassion to other people. So what keeps me from doing that sometimes? Do I try and determine myself the needs that somebody else may have? Do I try to keep from showing compassion because I don't think they deserve it? Maybe I keep from showing compassion because I'm afraid I won't get anything in return. And something I've learned very much in the last year, especially, and also in that time when I was in Fayetteville, compassion is a two-way street. When I receive and gratefully and humbly receive the compassion and help shown to me, I am also changed. So from this Advent season, take with you that compassionate joy that comes from knowing Jesus was born to love you. And he was born to love other people through you. As you enter 2020, you may be in the midst of your own Egypt, your own difficulties. Maybe you're afraid of the future. Maybe you're feeling broken. Maybe you're wandering into unknown territory. Nothing that you experience in that land of Egypt, or wherever it may be, will be in vain. For God will be with you, and the lessons you learn during that time will be invaluable. He's right there with you. Maybe you're not really experiencing any difficult times, and it's been a really easy year. It's been an easy time, and you feel God is stronger in your life than ever. Maybe you've already come out of your Egypt experience. But showing compassion to others will be life-changing for you. And if that's true of you, remember this quote from St. Teresa of Avila. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. So you have work to do in the new year. Compassion for someone who needs it. Compassion you need to receive from others. Christ has called us to compassionate joy, to go and be joyful and be compassionate whether you're in Egypt or you're at home. No matter where you are in 2020, Jesus will be right alongside you. And that's a promise he made and a promise he does keep. Let's pray. Father God, you are so good to us. You have given us this gift of a newborn baby who did not stay in that cradle, who did not stay a child, but grew up to be a man to save us from our sins. While he was here and walking this earth, God, he showed great compassion to people that were often overlooked, but also to people who were hurting and broken, broken in spirit, broken in body. God, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hands to do the work that you have called us to do. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.